Everybody, Jeff Prather with you on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, 10:30 a.m. KVOI.com, The Voice, with another show back with you. So stop into Perfection Auto Works. They're at 1046 North Beverly Avenue, 323-8650, www.perfectionautoworks.com. I was in there last week with my vehicle, took great care of me, fast, efficient, much more detailed than anybody else. And Mike Emery has been around for a long time, and he's a caring patriot. They offer free AC belt and hose inspections, free radiator cooling system diagnostics, free fall trip vehicle inspections. I always do that in the summertime when we're going over to San Diego with my family. But stop in and see him. Perfection Auto Works. So, busy week this week in the dojo at BujinkanUSA.com at 4518 East Broadway. We had movie night. I was just talking to John before we went on the air, and I had told him to watch The Best Years of Our Lives, and he goes, yeah, it was just as good. He's giving me a thumbs up right now. Fabulous movie. Won all kinds of Oscars. But on Friday night, I showed Shichi no Samurai, The Seven Samurai, which is classic, one of the 100 best films ever made. He's looking it up right now, and did a whole lot of spinoffs, The Magnificent Seven, tons of spinoffs. I think the latest one was The Seven Psychotics and The Hateful Eight and The Ridiculous Six Terrible. Just shows you the degeneration of society through pop culture and liberalism. But the original Seven Samurai is a great movie, and my serious dojo students were in there watching it. It's a 3-hour black and white Japanese film with subtitles, but it's fabulous and very subtle. It's a story of seven samurai who go to defend a peasant village in feudal Japan, and is just a great, incredible acting job and the best martial arts film ever. So that was a lot of fun. And our service today, our chaplaincy service, and I'm a ordained chaplain, the founder of Christ Connection Chaplaincy, and that's at christchaplaincy.com, and that telephone call goes out worldwide, sometimes as far as Europe. And that was a good service day and a good sermon. I was talking about obscure quotations in the Bible where God tells Moses to put up a bronzed fiery serpent to save the people, and my Jewish congregants did not know about that. And then later on under John, Yeshua says, just as Moses raised the fiery serpent, the Son of Man must be raised. And they're like, what, never heard of this. And then my Apache folks never heard about the serpents on sticks in Silas John. So a lot of obscure stuff that people are not aware of. Spent a lot of time tying that in, and I'm going to tie in some real important details today. But, and I think my dad's listening, my 92-year-old World War II veteran of the Navy, the Pacific Campaign. So, Dad, I'm here because of you. Hope you're listening. And you can feel free to call in later at 520-790-2040. So last week, we were talking about movies, and I had Elisa Medina on, and she is the director of GiveHopeTucson.com. And I told you I was at the premiere, I was invited to the Tucson premiere of Unplanned, and I told you what a great movie it was, and we discussed that, and a lot of people have said that was a great interview, and people came by the dojo and were funding the show. And for funding the show, it's gogetfunding.com, the Prather Point, but they loved that. And I said, hey, folks, go see the movie. It's a good movie. It's not a schmarmy Christian movie, and it's true to the true story of the youngest director of Planned Parenthood who left turned to faith and stopped the murder of the unborn, which is the worst of many genocides. And I was praising Elcon for showing it. Not a lot of people showed it, but I said, folks, if you don't go see it, then they won't keep it. And because it's show business, and I've made movies, I love movies, I've written scripts, and people are, the good news is you're paying attention, and people are going to see that movie. And I got some facts here that even though the typical liberal socialist outlets of the propaganda press are not promoting Unplanned and are panning it as a propaganda film that Unplanned pulled in $8.6 million. And its budget, I think, was $6 million. So it's all already out of the red. And most films never get made. And it's like in Shakespeare in Love. How's the show ever going to go on? It's a miracle. Somehow it'll happen. I've been on lots of movie sets. Anyway, it was just behind Dumbo, Us, and Captain Marvel. So a Christian true story faith that is stopping the murder of the unborn is right behind big Disney and Marvel hits. And even though Twitter deleted the Unplanned count briefly due to so-called glitches, you know, they always say that when they delete conservative and Christian and constitutional stuff. Oh, we had a glitch. The Unplanned Twitter account has more followers now than Planned Parenthood. And that's pretty amazing because Planned Parenthood is funded by the government. It's promoted by NPR and all the liberal left-wing sources. And this little tiny movie comes along and does very well. And it's a great movie. So if you haven't gotten out to see that yet, go see it and help support life and the saving of the unborn. And that's changing. I've talked to several shows about how that is changing, and we are going to change those immoral and unjust laws and illegal laws. So that's the first most important thing, and keep praying about that. Another thing that is worth talking about is that I'm always talking about we should be a culture of life and freedom. And of course, I just talked about the life part of that. As opposed to a culture of death and slavery. And I've spent a lot of time talking about cultures of death and slavery will always fall. And, you know, for example, the misuse and bastardization of the Bushido Code, although the Bushido Code is a code of death, if you read the Hagakure and you look at the Samurai Way, the first thing it says is the Samurai Way is the way of death. And if you ever look at the Didache, the first century Christian manual of training, it says there are two ways, the way of life and the way of death, and they are vastly different. And I'm always promoting and teaching a way of life. And today's sermon was about how Christians often focus on death. The Catholics love the bloody crucifix, and the Protestants love to talk about Jesus died for us, and that wasn't the point at all. And that's why I was saying Jesus was saying the Son of Man must be raised up like Moses raised up the serpents, because that's what God told Moses to do to save all the Hebrews that were bitten by snakes. But to give you another example of the pop culture of slavery and death, we just talked about killing of the unborn, because no culture that kills its children will survive. It can't. And that's why populations are growing old and small in Japan and Europe and stuff like that, is this Nixon enslavement crowd where it's a Democrat and liberal, and there's lots of movie stars involved in that. And the board member of Nixon, and it's NXIVM, is admitting that she kept a slave in the United States for 2 years and pleaded guilty to that. That's Nancy Salzman, told a judge in the Eastern District of Brooklyn. And right after that, the articles start talking about Unplanned. And so those are choices that we have to make and decide and be clear in our discernment about good versus evil and where we're going to stand on that. And so that's all good news. So I don't want you to think I'm always bringing bad news. So there's some good news, but that's clear choices that we have to decide. And I will tell you some more good news right after this next break. But before I do, I want to welcome a new sponsor to the show, and that's Diamondback Shooting Sports. It's hands down Tucson's best gun store for all your shooting needs. I've trained shooters by the tens of thousands, and whenever or whatever my guys need, I send them to Diamondback Shooting Sports at 7030 East Broadway. They have a full line of firearms, law enforcement, and tactical gear. And I've known the owner, Doug, personally for years. They've been here for 20 years, not as long as me, but they've been around a while. Arizona Daily Star voted them the best Tucson gun store 4 years in a row, right up to 2018. They're open 7 days a week. Diamondback Shooting Sports at 7030 East Broadway, 886-8338. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, back with you after this break. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, back with you. Already got a phone call. Wow, pretty early in the show, but I will take that. I always want to respect my callers and let them speak and speak their mind. Tom, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention for the listeners, Life Decisions International. I don't know if you heard of it before, but it's a nonprofit org. And it's basically they publish a boycott list of Planned Parenthood, all the corporations that take their profits and contribute to Planned Parenthood. And it's a paid-for list because you can imagine if it wasn't, it would be out of control and anybody could get it or use it or distort it. The good news is a lot of companies have come off the list, but the big companies that are still on it, like you mentioned, is Disney, which is ABC and ESPN, Nike, and so on. So I recommend if you're into life to boycott these companies that are giving to Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, cool. Thanks. I didn't know about that list. I appreciate that. Thanks, Tom. So that where can we find that list again?
Life Decisions International on the internet. It's LDI. And they're very, I mean, they struggle to stay around because they do charge for the list and it's copyrighted, but it's very accurate and they're very strict.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks.
And they try to get companies to stop giving money to Planned Parenthood, their profits. That's the idea.
Neat. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Okay, so, I wanted to start with that because that's the most important thing. Again, I'm always talking about Judeo-Christian native values, and the first great rule of Indian warriorship is nothing must ever be done to harm the children, and we're breaking that law all the time. And so, but I also want to stay with the big story that the media is not covering. And that is this coup, this soft coup by the intelligence community and the Department of Justice. And it's not the military. Remember, I used to say I'd be giving speeches under Obama and people would come up to me and say, when's the military going to revolt? And I said, they're not going to revolt. George Washington would turn over in his grave. We're not going to do that. We will survive this. We'll get past this and we will move forward. But what I didn't realize was the old Department of Justice that I was part of through the DEA and the intelligence community that I was part of through the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, would hold a soft coup. And I want to continue to explain that to you because now this we've said this whole Russian dossier collusion thing was a joke in the first place, but it's much, much worse than you know. And that's what Q is always saying, the insider Q with the Q clearance. That's what I've been saying. There's several other guys who've been in the G that have said. But now the Democrats are coming out and saying, well, after 2 years, almost $30 million, 400 subpoenas, all of these things, and they're saying, well, we got to investigate Barr now, or it's Mueller report and investigation isn't enough. Even they have no evidence. And before they were praising Mueller. I have long said Mueller should never have been in this investigation. You go back on my page on Facebook and other radio shows I've been on, I've talked about that. But it's still not going to succeed. But the socialists, the Marxists, the collectivists, the communists always have to have some kind of script because reality doesn't fit their script. And what they are now doing to Trump is exactly what they did to me when I protested about my extradition of the first Sinaloan cartel leader. They went after me for 5 years. They badmouthed me. You can go on the internet and it looks like I'm some kind of monster, which none of it is true. It's the exact same thing they're doing to Trump. And it was funny because when they're now asking for Trump's tax returns, they have no valid reason to do that. And I did investigations with the IRS. And one time I remember going into a Nogales produce company and I opened my DEA credentials. I'm like, DEA, special agent. They look at me. And then the guy with me pulls his credentials out, goes, IRS. And they're like, oh my God, IRS. They were really scared of the IRS. Let me tell you, everybody's scared of the IRS. And we don't forget the corruption of Loretta Lynch. No, that's not the right name. I can't think of the name of the corrupt head of IRS who was treating Christians and conservative groups poorly, holding up their 501c3s, still doing that with our 501c3. But I remember that when the DEA was going after me, they said, we want 20 years of your tax returns. And I'm like, well, we're not required to have 20 years. And of course, they found nothing. But by the time they flew me out from New York to Los Angeles to ask me one question for 20 minutes for the entire week, I realized, oh, this is from the top. Took me a long time to figure all this out. Takes whistleblowers a long time to figure a lot of this stuff out. But the point is that the government is always trying to take something from us, our freedom, our power. When I was teaching initiation last week, it was empowerment. And I was making the point, it's empowerment, not enforcement. And I was asking the question, have you ever heard of a government agency called the Empowerment Agency? No, it's all enforcement. It's all taking. None of it is giving. Power comes from the Holy Spirit, the Great Spirit, the Force, whatever you want to say. But the point here is, Mueller's no saint, and he should never have been in this investigation anyway, and I'm going to prove it to you. And again, like everything I say, you can look it up. So Tricia Anderson, who recently stepped down as the FBI's principal deputy general counsel, told House investigators late last year about an interview when Mueller was head of the FBI nearly two decades ago. And the FISA court had summoned him to appear before the judges to address concerns about extensive cheating on FISA warrants. Sound familiar? This is 20 years ago he's doing this. So other sources who worked for Mueller at the time told me that the court's concerns arose in 2002 and 2003, shortly after the September 11th, 9/11 terror attacks, when the FISA court learned that the FBI had omitted material facts from FISA warrant applications. Like what they're doing now? Like what Mueller has let them get away with now? The dossier, unproven, in more than 75 terrorism cases that dated back to the 1990s. Now, to be fair, most of this predated Mueller showing up there. But Mueller told the court the FBI had created a new system called the Woods Procedures, and that's what's in place now, the Woods Procedures. And I just got a text saying it's Lois Lerner. Thank you, Amber, listener, for telling me. Yeah, Lois Lerner was the head of the IRS at that time to ensure that FISA warrant applications were accurate and did not omit material anymore. And he committed the Woods procedure now to the FISA court. But what's going on now? The fake dossier by the Clinton campaign. So it's declassified, I'm not revealing classified information, even though I had a classified clearance through the DOJ and the intelligence community my entire career. Declassified Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court Order from 2002 reveals that the FBI failed to tell the FISA court that the individual they were seeking a warrant on was one of their own informants. Now, I ran a lot of informants. That was really how I knew everything went sideways, and I became a protester and a whistleblower. And I'm going to talk more about that later. But what this reveals is that the FBI has been abusing the FISA court for many, many years. But we only are finding about it well into the 2016 and 2017. We're only finding out about it now. So Mueller should never have been in charge of this. This is like the fox guarding the hen house. How corrupt was Robert Mueller and the FBI? Well, they led a witch hunt against Senator Ted Stevens. And anybody who becomes a whistleblower, they go after to kill the messenger. They kill the messenger to kill the message. That's what they did about me. That's what they did about Jay Dobbins, my friend at the ATF, Vince Cefalu at the ATF. They do it to everybody. So the following is an excerpt from Robert Mueller, Unmasked, a report published by Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas. As reported by NPR, after the conviction, all the truth came rolling out of the framing and conviction of Senator Stevens. Ted Stevens was from Alaska. Eric Holder had to abandon, and this is Eric Holder, the guy who said, I didn't know about Fast and Furious in a letter, and then said, oh, I retract the letter. That's suborning perjury. Okay, if I was doing that, I'd be in jail. He drops the case. Unfortunately for Ted Stevens, his conviction came only 8 days before his election, which tipped the scales on a close election. Does this sound familiar? The allegation that Senator Stevens had not paid full price for improvements to his Alaska cabin, but actually he had overpaid by 20%. But relying on false reports and fueled by testimony from a richly rewarded cooperating witness, government prosecutors, and remember the cooperating witness, because we're going to return to that later. Now, prosecutors convinced jurors to find him guilty just 8 days before the general election, which he lost by less than 2% of the vote. So you might say, well, why is that important? That's just more government corruption. But that was the Mueller team interfering with an election, and it cost Ted Stevens his job. Now, there's no direct evidence that Mueller was aware of this, because who gets to control the evidence? Who's controlling the evidence now? And I'll come back to that later today, too. But Kepner, the lead FBI investigator, accused of the wrongdoing by the whistleblower, which is FBI Special Agent Joy, is still working for the FBI and still doing cases, while Joy has been left. He's had to leave the agency, which is what happened to me. Fired 1 year from retirement without ever having a bad review. So what's the message here? The message here is that Director Mueller either did control or could have controlled what happened to the lead FBI agent that destroyed a well-respected U.S. senator. And that senator was not only completely innocent of the manufactured case against him, he was an honest guy. But under Mueller's overriding supervision, the wrongdoer who helped manufacture the case stayed on. And the whistleblower was punished. And this is not a new story, folks. This happens all the time. And it happened to me. Obviously, the FBI director wanted his FBI agents to understand that honesty would be punished and wrongdoing would be rewarded. So, why is this so important? Well, as this happens, in August of 2010, former Senator Stevens boards his plane, but what happens to that plane? Crashes. Now, if you've read or listened to my previous stuff, Mueller was brought up as a prosecutor by Clinton. What happens to everybody around Clinton? What's the count? I think it's like 40 now or 50. Mysterious deaths. In the following month after Senator Stevens' untimely death, in September of 21, a young DOJ lawyer, Nicholas Marsh, who had been involved in the Stevens case, committed suicide at his home as the investigation into the fraudulently created case continued. The report expressed no conclusion as to Marsh's conduct, given his untimely death. So that's what's going on with the Mueller investigation. I'm running over again, and I got a lot more to cover that I haven't even gotten to yet. But we'll be right back after this break on the Prather Point. This is Jeff Prather, back with you in a second. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, back with you at KVOI.com, 10:30 a.m., the voice in the Perfection Auto Works studios, welcoming also, besides Mike Emery and the Perfection Auto Works at 1046 North Beverly Avenue. The Doug at Diamondback Shooting Sports. Diamondback is my go-to gun store where Doug and his crew have been serving the needs of the community for 20 years. They're open 7 days a week and offer law enforcement and military discounts for both active and retired like me. Diamondback is a leading retailer of silencers. We actually call them suppressors, but most people call them silencers, and other Class 3 products, and even have fingerprinting services, an always open e-commerce store that's open 24/7, 365. With one of Tucson's most experienced and knowledgeable instructors, Diamondback offers a variety of firearms training classes from basic to advanced. Diamondback Shooting Sports at 7030 East Broadway, 886-8338. I've known those guys for a long time, trains lots of them, great folks. When I have folks in with me training and they don't have a piece of gear, I say, run down to Diamondback. They'll take great care of you. And their training classes are at www.dbacktraining.com. I know Ben, the instructor. He was 82nd Airborne, great guy. I've been on the range with him as well. Know a lot of other guys there as well. So, getting back and into the depths of the Mueller report is now the Dems are saying that the report is being changed by Barr, and they want to see the whole thing. And that's simply because they have a script to follow, like all of these socialist collectivists always have. They have a script, and it's not working for them. And so they have to change reality to fit the script. So now they're saying, oh, well, that's not, you know, the report's not true before they were praising him. And even though Mueller is certainly not with clean hands in this at all. And that's what I want to really get into now. And this is a little complicated, but last show, I was saying how Comey, Brennan, Rice, they lied under oath. They've lied multiple times. They've suborned perjury, and they're in trouble. Uber out in Utah is investigating them. Two of Comey's guys are under criminal investigations for leaks to the media. What are we hearing about this week? We're hearing about more leaks of the Mueller report to the media, specifically to CNN. What's new about that? Remember when CNN was outside of Stone's house and they said, oh no, we're just good journalists. We're just good reporters. There's no reporting left. Everybody knows it's just propagandists now. So last show, when we were down in the weeds, I was saying, if you remember how I have had sources tell me that the report was done 8 months ago and he was holding it up for the elections, to swing the elections in Hillary's favor, in the Democrats' favor, just like Comey dismissed and Lynch dismissed the Hillary investigation. And everybody knows that fiasco, and we see that with the Smollett case as well. And then we saw what I just talked about 2 decades ago. He was doing this stuff back then. And still, they are failing. You can watch them keep shooting themselves in the head. But so if he knew 8 months ago that this was a sham, then what was he doing the rest of the time? And that's what I want to talk about today. So by July 2017, Mueller has seen the stroke text that we have now seen. So remember, Stroke was the head of FBI counterintelligence who was having an affair with FBI lawyer Lisa Page. They're both married, they're having an affair, and he's texting. So if you're having an affair, to be head of counterintelligence is a blackmailable offense. So that's ridiculous for anybody in the intelligence community. I know there's some intelligence guys listening, and I'm not gonna say who you are, but we all know that's a problem right there. The next thing is, he's texting all this stuff, open texting. It's ridiculous. It is a joke, it's a sideshow. But the text reveal that by July 2017, Stroke is texting his lover, Paige, there's no there. There's nothing there. There is no Russian collusion. This is the guy, the lead investigator. Mueller is reading these texts. And he's telling, well, if there was something, we could impeach, but there's nothing there. And Mueller sees this. But he continues to investigate. He dismisses Stroke from the case because it comes out. And then you see the horrendous testimony in front of the Congress and the famous line where Stroke says, none of this influenced what I was doing. And Gowdy goes, that's a fantastic answer to a question no one has asked. Because it's obvious that he is lying. And now he's under criminal investigation. But what does, so Mueller dismisses Stroke and Page, and when you're with the G, you get a G car. It was great. I had a G car, and the G pay for my gas. You know, now I got to buy my own bullets. I got to pay for my own gas. But when you're with the G, you get a G ride. You're a G man. You know, big G, the government. You know, they take Stroke's and Page's iPhones from them. You know, the ones that have, we've gotten the text from the IG. And what does Mueller do with them? He erases them. He erases them. This is the guy conducting the investigation. So then, in July, also later in July, Manafort agrees to cooperate. And the day after Manafort agrees to cooperate, what does Mueller do? He raids Manafort's home. Well, if the guys agreed to cooperate, I've done this a million times. You're going to cooperate? Okay. Give me all your stuff. So why is he raiding Manafort's home? Because Manafort's agreeing to cooperate with Congress. And what's Manafort going to reveal to Congress? Are you with me? He's going to reveal the same thing that Stroke revealed, which is, what is it, John? There's no there. So he rolls up Manafort, and Manafort's getting, you know, arrested and put in jail, and because Mueller knows this whole thing is a sham. Days later, Papadopoulos is arrested. I worked a Greek criminal. I won't say who that was in Nogales, but it's where the Border Patrol station is now. Anyway, and I'm not saying these guys aren't guilty of the crimes, that the process crimes of lying to the FBI, of whatever they're guilty of, but no one has been proven guilty of Russian collusion, nor obstruction, because, again, you'd have to have something to obstruct here. But if Papadopoulos arrested a couple days... But when did he make the false statements that they arrested him for? 6 months earlier. And how do they arrest him? Well, for feds, we go get a warrant. There's a long process. We got to go with an assistant United States attorney. We got to go over swear to a federal warrant judge. And then we go make the arrest. He was arrested on a probable cause arrest. No warrant. Feds like us, we're not out on the street. Like cops, we don't make probable causes arrest. Doesn't happen because we're not out there to see anything. So what's the rush? What's the hurry here? Why does he have to be scooped up? Well, again, because back in January 2017, the FBI found no crime with Flynn. And so what is Mueller doing here is he's wrapping up all of those who might expose the fallacy of this investigation. And I'm rolling over on a break here now, coughing a little bit. So we will take a quick break and I'll be back with the final segment. And I hope to get all this out because it's really important for you to understand this. Anyway, Jeff Prather on the Prather Point, back with you in a second. Jeff Prather, back with you on the Prather Point. KVOI.com in the Perfection Auto Works studios, deep in the weeds here on the phony hoax trying to have a coup. This is huge. This is even bigger than the story of Trump brokering a peace deal between North and South Korea and the fences come down. This is bigger than Trump killing ISIS. This is bigger than tax cuts. There's plenty of big stories with Trump, but this is the intelligence community and the Department of Justice trying to bring about a soft coup, and the evidence is overwhelming. And the investigators who are corrupt as well. So continuing here, all of this is happening around July 2017. And why do all these arrests suddenly happen, Papadopoulos, at this time? Because in July 2017, the House GOP, which is grand old party, by the way, and they never want to say that because it's the grand old party, just like they never want to admit that the Democratic Party is the party of slavery. The Republican Party was the party of freedom, calls for a special investigator on Hillary Rodham Clinton because of the dismissal. It's like, well, if we're going to have the special counsel for to investigate Trump, what about Uranium One? What about all the illegal Clinton contributions? So they're calling for that. So what does Mueller do? He starts making all of the arrests. PC arrests at the airport for statements they're given 6 months earlier. And this is nothing new. I just told you in the first part of the show, back 20 years ago when he was head of the FBI, he was doing the same stuff with the FISA court and breaking the Woods protocols that he emplaced because he's wrapping up anybody who can show that this investigation is a hoax of the Russian collusion is a hoax, and his investigation of it is a hoax, which is always what socialists and communists have to do, like the proletariat. No one's ever been able to find the proletariat. The last place I think the proletariat was supposed to be found is in Africa. They still can't find the proletariat. And if I'm being confusing, you know, 520-790-2040, but let me keep going with this. So also, at this time, Nellie Orr, wife of Bruce Orr. Bruce Orr is a bigwig at the DOJ. Nellie Orr is working for Fusion GPS, who brings about the dossier. They have a personal meeting with Christopher Steele, the author of Fusion GPS. Folks, this is 2017. It's 2019. It's brand new 2019. Last year was 2018. This was just 2017. They're still doing it. They're still perpetrating a coup on the United States of America, on the sitting president. They're still doing it. This was initiated by Obama, signed off by all these guys, and they're still doing it. Right after they meet with Steele, they have a meeting with the deputy director of the FBI, McCabe. Yeah, McCabe's the one who said, oh yeah, Comey's great, and he's now in trouble. And the deputy attorney general at the time, Sally Yates, if you remember her, Trump fired her early on. And he fired her early on because she said, well, I'm not going to do what the president says because it's immoral. Well, I got news for you. The Department of Justice works for the executive branch. Your boss, your ultimate boss, is the commander in chief. And so you're not going to do what he says unless it's an immoral order, which she was saying it was. But there was nothing immoral about what he was saying. She was just disobeying her boss. And that's because it's all starting to unravel. All the FISA cover-ups are all starting to unravel. This is also the same time that ex-CIA officer Mike Rogers goes up to Trump Tower and has a conversation with Trump. Now, we don't know what that conversation is, but as a DIA intelligence officer who's worked with MACI officers, it's probably something like, hey, there's FISA warrants out there, and they are listening in to you and Flynn, because Flynn had just come on board through the DIA and then through as a national security advisor. And this is when Trump comes out and says, Obama's wiretapping me. He's not quite right in the terminology, but which he never is. But that's not his lane. That's my lane. That's our lane. So, but what he's saying has been proven true. Anyway, I got a little bit more on this, but I got a caller. So, Mark, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes. Thanks again, as always. So, Ronaldos Reganum Magnus, Ronald Reagan the Great, said that we are but one generation away from tyranny if we don't, you know, keep on guard for liberty.
Less than that.
I think we are about one election away from it. If they get back into power, they will dig themselves in so deep that we will not be able to rout them out without, you know, something drastic maybe. We cannot allow those leftist, national socialist, Marxist, commie, you know, Stalinist, totalitarian, fascist, Sharia law tolerant, American Workers' Party, Democrats.
We got your point there.
To get power.
No, we can't. We can't. And they're doing everything they can. They're bringing about. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Yeah. And they're so deeply dug in. I don't know how we're going to get them out of there. It's been 2 years so far, and they're still as deeply dug in as it were before.
Well, thanks for the call, Mark. So, no, they're not as deeply dug in. The swamp is being drained, and I've said this on previous shows, is Orr, McCabe, Comey, they're all gone, and they're all under criminal investigation. Brennan is in deep trouble. Hillary Clinton, I mean, every time Trump gives a speech, what is it? Lock her up, lock her up. Everybody is coming to a reality about this. And the media, what would just happen with the media? The media is Kevin Spacey, Weinstein, they're getting locked up. And then we just saw the third part of the unholy trinity is leftist education. There's a big federal indictment of those guys. So it's happening. It's very slow, and they're deeply embedded because they control the government. But it is happening. There is hope. There is good news. But let me continue to finish this, because this is what I want you to understand is that the ex-CIA guy, remember I was telling you about the ex-NYPD guy, Keith Schiller, who's Trump's guy. That's why I think all these cases are happening. Ex-CIA guy Mike Rogers goes up there to Trump Tower and says, hey, they're listening. And this is probably, I don't know this, but I and some other former special agents who are out there, we think there's more than four FISAs that were out there. And we think there's other FISAs that were foisted on the FISA court again. Listen to what I'm saying. They did more than four. There's a lot of good evidence. So Mueller charges Flynn. So remember, Flynn's top secret clearance, Patriot, General, DIA. And Flynn's like saying, hey, you know, you heard my conversations. And the story is that the NSA was monitoring the Russians and they picked up Flynn. Well, when you're supposed to do that, it's called minimization. And I've done it. I've worked this stuff in the DEA. I've worked this stuff in the DIA. I'm very familiar, and I can't talk in detail. I will just say there's an unholy alliance between the Justice Department and the intelligence community that should not exist. But it's called minimization. If it doesn't pertain, you don't get to listen. There are rules about this. But the charges against Flynn that Mueller brings describe conversations that seem to pertain to after the NSA and the intelligence community were monitoring Flynn. They appear to be conversations after that, which leads me and other intelligence professionals to believe that they were still listening. Because they leaked that stuff That, and by leaking that stuff, that is a federal felony as well, because that stuff is top secret as well. So Barr says that the Trump team had Russian offers but did not take them. They even declined them. Rand Paul is saying that Brennan demanded the dossier be included in the intelligence community's assessment of the Russian collusion, but he's saying he didn't. So somebody's lying here. And it looks like that Brennan, the head of the CIA, the guy who used to vote communist and who has called the president a traitor, it looks like he has suborned perjury. It looks like he is the traitor. So where is this going? And this is the big finish here, folks. So it looks like that if Brennan included the dossier in the CIA assessment, remember back when they said, the Dems were saying, all of the intelligence agencies say there was Russian collusion. This is where it comes from. Brennan saying, lying about the dossier, but he did not vet it. He included it. He bought into, folks, a Russian disinformation campaign. The Obama administration colluded with the Russians, either directly or indirectly, knowingly or unknowingly. Whatever they're accusing of, they're doing. This is big stuff, and this is going to blow up. And this is, and why on July 17? Because the IG informs Mueller July 17, they're investigating him. This is Jeff Braith on the Prather Point next week. See ya.